This is Game On. With your host, Seat Williams.
Game On!
Back on the streets of Vegas, feeling good, 3 o'clock, standing tall. We are making it rain! Getting you started here on a Monday in Vegas. Oh, yeah. Feeling good. Plenty to get to today. We got handicapper extraordinaire Steve Fezzik coming up at 3:40. Got to talk about the big game tonight, Bama, Georgia. Can Smart get his mentor? Huh? Nick Saban? Don't know. We'll find out. Rocking the NFL. We're about to get to that in a minute. The four games. Boy, got to tell you what I took from this past weekend into this coming weekend. Lots to look to. Dope. We're going to kick that in about 3:25. Give you about that. So, hey, all of us are here today. We got Ari bumping the ones and twos. Marcus Laverne, he's going to co-host the show with us in this one. I'm in here. Charles, he's basically training. He's going to be doing some of this work as well. I'm Seed Williams. Glad you could join us. Got to tell you, favorite day of the week to do this show is Monday. There is absolutely nothing like Mondays. Every time I pop in here on a Monday or we come in, there's always something big to go down with us. I mean, this particular weekend, you had the four football games. You also had the G-Nights getting busy. G-Nights doing their thing. We'll catch you up on that. I'm going to use that in dope. The Rebels didn't do so well, though, losing again in conference play. 85-78 to Utah State at home over at the MAC. 1-2 now in conference play. Let me tell you, a lot of promise. They get the big kid out of San Diego. They've got a couple of returners. Menzies did a good job of doing the best he could with the time they had. So just be patient. Okay, 1-2 is not what we expected at this point. And they had to go to overtime to beat San Jose State on the road, their last endeavor before last night's loss. So there's a lot of things to be improved. Sure, we're licking our chops early on out of conference play, but once you get inside of conference play, it's a whole different animal, and the Rebel players are finding that out. Menzies already knew that. I'm quite sure he prepped the kids because that was the same thing that Dave Rice would tell his kids. Guys, in the Mountain West, it's entirely different than the play that we had outside. You need to understand that. And now they get Air Force. That Princeton offense, not so much fun. Not so much fun at all. So here's what I took out of the weekend. A couple of things in particular. Out of the four games that we watched, you know, the Titans with their victory over Kansas City and Kansas City losing another one. We'll see how long Alex Smith stays there because Patrick Mahomes is being groomed to pick up and become the new guy. Also, Buffalo Bills couldn't get it done, but for them to make it to the playoffs and then to have Saxonville come in and get it done. Bortles didn't look good at all, except for with his legs. Panthers, Drew Brees getting it done, even though they stopped the two-headed monster, Ingram and Kamara, at running. Brees just torched them in the air. But the thing I took away of all the games was the urgency of the Atlanta Falcons defense. The ATL got busy. Desmond Tufan, Robert Alfred, they didn't let nothing get past them. Okay, all right. Gurley got his 101 yards, but Jared Goff didn't get anything. And that was the way it went down. So you look at situations like that, and what are you going to do? You know? I mean, some people are saying the Rams just weren't ready. They're not experienced enough. Okay, that may be part of it, but the urgency defines championships. Now, the Falcons last year just blew a flat tire. They ran out of gas. 28-3, you're winning the Super Bowl, but you got Belichick. You got Brady on the opposite side with Gronk and company, and, you know, you lost. Okay, you lost to the best team of this era, a team of dynasty. Patriots have won two of the three. Brady's got five rings. He's got one for the thumb. That's where we're at on that. I don't know if they would run out of gas like they did last time. And here's the difference. The NFC South is the absolute best division in all of football, right? 2 years ago, we saw the Panthers get to the Super Bowl and lose. Last year, they could have been on a Super Bowl hangover, right? Well, whatever the case, and they didn't make it back this year. This year, the Atlanta Falcons, who lost to New England, they're like, screw this. Okay, we're better than this. We're up 28-3. We had the biggest meltdown in Super Bowl history. And check this, all right? Get on my tip. Get the ride with us because we're going back. We'll see if that happens. Time now, folk, for Rockin' the NFL. Let's go to Kansas City, Arrowhead, where they say next to Seattle, the crowd is nasty, rocking. You can feel it on the ground if you're on the field. The stadium is so loud. Well, they couldn't calm down Derrick Henry. 23 touches, 156 yards, and a TD. Marcus Mariota even threw a touchdown to himself. First time ever in playoff history that happened. Six straight playoff losses. Titans get this one 22-21.
A loss of about a half yard on the play. Third down and goal. Tennessee in dire need of six and not three. Mariota to the line of scrimmage, maybe across the line. It deflects back to him for a touchdown for the moment. But was he across the line of scrimmage? Play.
Revis bats the ball right back to Mariota. It's a live ball.
Quarterback
touchdown.
Is behind the line, and he was in shotgun, so therefore he is an eligible receiver. It is a touchdown.
Very close. Kansas City did not have a first down in the third quarter. They had just 6 yards. The Titans had the ball for nearly 11 minutes. Henry ripping through. Henry inside the 20. Henry inside the 5. Touchdown, Tennessee! It's remarkable how many times they've done it already. From the 22, second and 10. Mariota to the goal line. Touchdown, Tennessee! Eric Decker hangs on to that one for one of the biggest catches of his life.
Ah, the man got the books. The books didn't get the man this weekend because everyone, like myself, took the favorites money line and strung them together on parlays. I knew after that game, okay, just enjoy the games. You ain't going to win the bets. 22-21, your final. Six straight playoff losses now for Kansas City. Alex Smith, perhaps headed to the Bills is the talk. Patrick Mahomes, they groomed him in their last home game, getting him ready. Derrick Henry, the one-headed monster, because Murray was not able to go. He ran over him like crazy, and Marcus Mariota getting a victory. Boy, two TDs underdog. They'll be as they head now to New England, 5:15 on Saturday. We'll see if they can rock it there in Foxborough. Then we went on to the Coliseum, the Falcons, the Rams. Boy, Jared Goff, you got to beat us, buddy. Can you? Well, Gurley got his 101 yards. The defense stepped up. Haven't seen as much urgency from the Atlanta Falcons all year long. Tufan Alford getting it done. Atlanta went up 13-0, 13-10 at half. Never trailed. And then Julio Jones with a TD as well.
No, he's pretty confident with this distance right here.
Officially a 49-yard field goal for Hauschka. Kick on the way, and it is good.
Going to go right through my receiver, and I'm going to get the ball on the one-yard line.
Kyle Williams, touchdown! Amazing! Unbelievable! They put in Williams as the fullback, and he scores a touchdown, the 12th-year defensive tackle. 56 seconds to go. Fails, fires, intercepted! Jordan Poyer! His fifth of the season, and Buffalo is going to hold on to win this game against the Dolphins.
actually a wrong highlight there, but we'll back you up. Falcons went on to win that ball game 26-13 over the Rams. Julio Jones had 9 catches, 94 yards, and a touchdown. Make them beat us, Jared Goff, huh? Can you beat us? No. The defense stepped up. Off to Philly now as a 3-point favorite, okay? You're going up against the number one seed, and you're a favorite by a touchdown, 135, your start time. That'll be on Saturday. Now we'll go to Jacksonville. We'll call it Saxonville. And in this ball game, Blake Bortles looked horrid. God bless him. He had 12 completions of 23 passes, 87 yards, but he did run for 88 yards, rather, and had a touchdown rushing. Talking trash all day long. Ramsey, Church, from start to finish with that 10-3 win. Little taste of Saxonville.
Here's Taylor, first down throw. Ball batted in the air, and it is plucked out of the air, it looked like, by Colvin. Here we go, fourth and goal. Bortles stumbled for a moment. Up top, he's got his man for the touchdown. Kloiak with the catch. Peterman from the gun. Here we go. Pass, tip, and intercepted by Ramsey to close it out.
Final score 10-3 if you like defense. This was all about field position. Off the top, as I said, Jacksonville, if you didn't see it, their defensive backs, their linebackers, front D, they're talking smack all day long to Buffalo. Every play. Ramsey, I love him. I was hoping the Chargers would pick him, but we got Bosa. And I'll take Joey. Joey's all that, too. But I love trash talkers that can back it. And Jacksonville, young, brash, don't care. All right, we're here. But their one big Achilles heel is the most important position in all of sports. That's their quarterback. Blake Bortles stinks. He has absolutely no confidence. He's throwing passes, 15-yard passes over guys' heads behind him and then throwing his head down. But I give him credit for this. He knew he didn't have it throwing the ball, so he put it on his legs, and he's kind of difficult to catch. He's a pretty good runner. As I said, he rushed for 88 yards and a touchdown, but he was 12 of 23, 87 yards on the in the air. Not so good. Tyrod Taylor, perhaps his final game in Buffalo uniform, the way they treated him earlier when Peterman came in place of the Chargers, moving on there. So what are you going to do? Jacksonville on to Pittsburgh, Sunday 10:05, right? They beat the Berg in Pittsburgh, week 5, 30-9. So there you have it. On down to the Bayou, baby. Saints, Panthers. Uh-oh. We're going to stop that two-headed monster, Kamara and Ingram. Yeah, let's shut them down, right? Right? Because Drew Brees is an old man. He's on lifters because he's 5'10", can't throw it over a guy's head. Uh-uh. Drew Brees, 376 yards, 3 TDs. Cam Newton, by the way, was his eye, or did he have a concussion, or did he get a concussion in his eye? Saints, holla, 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 31-26.
Now 2nd and 10 for New Orleans. Down the middle, deep, Ginn, caught, inside the 30. The former Panther, touchdown, New Orleans. Touchdown Hill. Newton in trouble. And sacked. First guy there was Tyler Davison. Onyemata was there at the end of it, and Newton got hit hard.
The ball to the offense in great field position and let Breeze do his thing.
All that courtesy of the NFL Radio Network. Drew Brees getting off. As I said, 376 yards, 3 touchdowns. Lifters are working good for him in those shoes, right? Cam Newton, I'm not pointing the finger at Cam. He almost won the game on that final pass. Didn't quite get it to his receiver, Fungus, but he got stuck in that one play. where he's off balance. He turns around, boom, gets stood up, hit, and right away it looked like a concussion. Okay, but his eyes, he's like blinking in his left eye. And then while he's down, if you watch the slow-mo, he got kicked in his face guard. If he doesn't have the face guard shield, that cleat hits him right in his eye. So he gets up, falls back down, eventually to the tent. One play out, protocol, concussion, not here. Not in the NFL, buddy. Russell Wilson didn't do it. This guy didn't do it. The Niners didn't do it. So the NFL has an issue they have to deal with. That final score, once again, Saints 31, Panthers 26. On to Minnesota. Panthers already, they have, I got to tell you this. They have to realize they have falling pieces. Their owner's gone. They can't protect Cam Newton anymore. And the headlines in New Orleans in their lead paper was, Panthers already have a new owner. It's the Saints. Because they were celebrating with the brooms. They swept them three times this year. There you have it. Rocking the NFL 31-26, your final on to Minnesota. Good stuff. Good weekend. I got to tell you, a very, very enjoyable weekend of wild card play. So we get the divisional rounds this coming week. Fezzik, when he comes up in about 25, maybe 30 minutes, 25 minutes from now, Fez, he's going to look at that. We'll open that box up, and also we'll talk about the big game tonight. Kirby Smart and Nick Saban saw their interviews earlier today, and they're going over exactly what the players are doing now in the period of time. And think about this. If you're a young man, and you're playing college football, you're playing in the SEC, Big 12, Big 10, Pac-12, ACC, whatever, Mountain West, if you may, and you're in a really big game, okay, you would have to be in one of the first five to be in this game tonight. You're 20 years old. You may be 19. You could be 18. And you've never had this type of pressure in your life before, okay? Jalen Hurts has. Last year, he won the championship with Bama. Excuse me. He was in the championship game against Clemson with Bama. They lost the game, so he knows what it tastes like to lose. So you're coming back. Bama defeats Clemson to get to the championship game. Oklahoma is taken to the depths with Georgia, and Georgia wins in double overtime, so they are now facing Bama tonight, two SEC teams. All right, I'm a fool, and I'll ask Fez when I get him on. I took the over. Everyone bet the game under. The total dropped from 47 all the way down to 44.5, and I got 44.5, but I took it over. And I'll just sit there and enjoy it. I don't want to have to root for a certain team. I just want to root for some turnovers and some key plays and some scoring inside the red zone. So it's going to be fun tonight. I'm going to go pick me up some Cheeto Puffs. Not going out. I'm sitting at home tonight, Ari, and I'm going to bag it and enjoy this football game. Should be fun, huh?
Shout out to Cheetos.
Cheeto Puffs.
Cheeto Puffs. Can we get a sponsor?
We don't want the crunchy Cheetos. We got to have the big ones that you can suck down. And then, yeah, you wash it down.
I like the puffier ones better, too. The crunchy ones.
Yeah, the crunchy ones ain't good on your teeth either, man. You know, and the sound of it just. Nah. All right, we're going to step away. When we come back, lighters up. Dope is next.
Man, I've been saving for a special occasion.
Looks like a quarter pounder, man. Led Zeppelin.
Hey, be careful with that, man.
Is it heavy stuff, man? Will it blow me away?
It's time now for Man, That Show is Dope.
325 in the Valley. Lighters up. Pass it. Ah. Fastest man in two legs, Usain Bolt. Of course, he's got all those gold medals. Seen him do it over and over again for Jamaica. Aman, pass it, man. Well, his dream is to become a professional soccer player. Now, in October, he discussed a tryout with Germany's team. Okay, now, he's been working on this over and over and over again. He's telling British publication Express Sports this week on camera that He had discussions with Manchester United about signing with the Premier League team. This is Usain Bolt. Was he about 6'5", got the longest legs on the planet?
He's fast.
Yeah, but, you know, it's like you're not passing a baton in the relays. I mean, you're just using your legs. I mean, how much drill set, skill set do you have on the grass with the feet, dog?
I want to see. I'm interested to see.
Well, we might find out. Quote, one of my biggest dreams is to sign for Manchester United, Bolt told Express. If Dortmund said, I'm good enough, I'll crack on the train hard. I've spoken to Alex Ferguson, and I told him he needs to put in a good word. He told me if I get fit and ready, he'll see what he can do, unquote. That's Usain Bolt. I mean,
that's how it sounded? Okay.
Nevertheless, he's trying to get this tryout. This right here to me is splendendous. I just made up a word.
You sure did.
If Usain Bolt can end up going to a Premier Soccer League team and do anything on that field that he can do on that track, dope.
Make a dent. Yeah, I want to see that. I'm telling you, man, the speed. I know there's more than just speed to soccer and running, but it's a big part of it. Up and down the field, back and forth. It takes a lot of, you really need to be in shape for that. So he's got that covered. And where is he born again?
Jamaica Man.
Pretty, they're big on soccer.
Ganji,
right?
Man, that too,
but but they're big on
Bastard
soccer.
Man.
So you got
they
some skills. I'm thinking he's got some kind of a background in this, not just out of nowhere. So that is pretty dope.
They are good on soccer. Back, got work.
Very dope. Let me get my technical difficulties out of the way here. All right, mine's way better because it's Oprah. So I could just say pretty much Oprah is dope, and then we could just end the show like that. First of all, a quick side note. I would vote in a heartbeat for her for president. What do you think?
I'd marry her.
Yeah, we all would. I mean, that goes without saying.
I think everybody in the room would marry her.
Yeah, everybody.
She is loaded, okay?
She's pretty amazing.
Just tell me what to do, Oprah, okay? It's, you know, you want your toes rubbed, huh?
Yeah.
Want them popped? Hey. I'll pop your toes for you, honey.
I'll do all kinds of things. I'll change my life. She did an acceptance speech for a Cecil B. DeMille Award at Golden Globes. She is the first black woman other than Ms. DeMille to win the award. And she did her acceptance speech at the Golden Globes in Hollywood. She used it as a platform to thank the women who faced their abusers with the whole Me Too situation, with pretty much every middy in Hollywood doing all these terrible things. Here's a piece of that.
I'd like to thank the Hollywood Foreign Press Association, because we all know that the press is under siege these days. But we also know that it is the insatiable dedication to uncovering the absolute truth that keeps us from turning a blind eye to corruption and to injustice. To tyrants and victims and secrets and lies. I want to say that I value the press more than ever before as we try to navigate these complicated times, which brings me to this. What I know for sure is that speaking your truth is the most powerful tool we all have. And I'm especially proud and inspired by all the women who have felt strong enough and empowered enough to speak up and share their personal stories. Each of us in this room are celebrated because of the stories that we tell. And this year, we became the story. But it's not just a story affecting the entertainment industry. It's one that transcends any culture, geography, race, religion, politics, or workplace.
I'm gonna let her keep going.
So I want tonight to express gratitude to all the women who have endured years of abuse and assault because they, like my mother, had children to feed and bills to pay and dreams to pursue.
There you go. Because she could say it better than I can, right?
Was that her presidential speech?
Well, as it goes on, and then, you know, there's somebody suggested that she run for president and that Tom Hanks be her running mate. And that got a really good response, rightly so. That's why I started off asking you if you would vote for her for president.
Actually, when Donald Trump, this is back a while back, when he said the first time he was going to run for president, I mean, this was many years ago, he says, I'd like to have Oprah as my running mate. He said that.
This was what, 10
different occasions? Yeah, like it was back, way back, a good
back
10
in the
years
good days.
Ago. Back. Nevertheless, it was a blackout last night. I mean, all the women wore black. Most of the dudes wore black. I mean, it was coordinated well. And Oprah, man, what can you say?
I love it. Because if you're going to use a platform, that's to me, that's the whole purpose. I don't want to be famous for really, other than the money, for any other reason, but to do something like that, to use it, the power for good. She's like the greatest example of that ever. I would keep going back to the president thing. I would love that. I just think she's just something special. Like what the
she is.
Things she does and the inspiration she
and
gives.
She was raped and abused when she was a child multiple times. I mean, often. Yeah. And so she's been through it and she's on top now. And I hope she can keep it going.
Yeah, she's dope. And one last thing, too, that she said that wasn't played was she kind of shot some light on the media and gave them some credit for, even though media is responsible for a lot of negative things and perpetuating all kind of stuff, they're also the ones that are shining light on these very things. And, you know, she said they don't get enough credit for that, too. So helping us all.
It's all
kinda,
dope. Yeah. LeVar Ball, he is a dope. Now he's in Lithuania with his two of his sons, LiAngelo and LaMelo. And of course, Lonzo's playing with the Lakers. So he finally crossed the line. By crossing the line from Lithuania, he said that Luke Walton has lost the Laker team. Okay? He said they lost the team. I don't know where he got it from. Now, so right off the bat, the perception is his son, Lonzo's telling him that. So now the players are going to be questioning his son. Well, Lonzo had to come out and say, no, he hasn't lost a team. And they went on to beat Atlanta, did the Lakers last night, to snap a 9-game losing streak. So Lonzo Ball was playing on the second team in this game. And so one of the reporters asked Luke Walton, well, why was Lonzo on the second team? Jokingly, he said,
His dad was talking shit, so I took him out early.
It worked. And he, you know what? That's what you call putting light on the situation.
Yep.
Well, Rick Carlisle, the coach of Dallas, he didn't put light on the situation. He had this to say about the media covering that story and printing it.
ESPN is a partner. You know, is an NBA partner, and they've been a great one. But you know, part of that partnership is that the coaches do a lot of things to help them with access, interviews, all those kinds of things. And in exchange for that, you know, they should back up the coaches. Printing an article where the father of an NBA player has an opinion that is printed as anything like legitimate erodes trust. It erodes the trust that we've built with ESPN, and our coaches are upset because Luke Walton does not deserve that.
You know, Rick Carlisle, and I respect him, and I understand where he's coming from on that, but look, if you have a loud mouth, and by the way, he was called a blowhard by Ricardo. He called LeVar Ball a blowhard.
It's kind of accurate.
Accurate, but he's not correct about you can't print or put the story on because it's fascinating, all right? His son is the point guard for the Lakers. His dad is talking a bunch of trash. You have to put it on, even if it's garbage. Sure, he's a blowhard, but I get Rick Carlisle, but you're not going to squash reporters and industries from reporting the story that makes the headlines. This right here pushes the needle, so you have to use it. Although I thought it was pretty dope, especially what Luke Walton had to say about it. Yeah, his dad talked about me blank. Yeah, that's why he sat the bench.
You got to take it if you're going to dish it. That's LeVar Ball all day. He's like America's number one enemy right now, other than Trump. All right. So have you?
What you got?
There's a certain clothing place that got into a little hot water. I kind of want to mention, am I allowed to mention them on the show or Are we supposed to do this all incognito?
Yeah, do it.
All right, H&M, where I shop often, because they have some pretty good deals. I think Charles might, too.
And you like them, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. This Real quick, shameless plug. Sometimes they'll have, like, a T-shirt marked down for, like, you know, $6 or something. So there you go. Now that that's out of the way. Company removed an ad after hundreds of social media users accuse it of being racist. And it continues to sell a hoodie online. It's a hoodie, a green one. And the hoodie says, coolest monkey in the jungle. Yeah. And modeling said hoodie is a nice young black kid, probably about six.
A six-year-old black kid with a, what's that, a what in the jungle? The coolest monkey?
Coolest monkey in the jungle.
So where's that, on the front of the hoodie?
Right on the front.
So a little six-year-old kid, tell me he was light-skinned, a high yellow
he
brother.
He was not.
No! No, darkness, everybody, no, darkness!
He's repping.
A dark-skinned brother? Yeah. A kid?
Nice-looking kid, getting his little model on.
Darker
not
than
sure
midnight.
How many jobs he's going to get after this, but...
Man.
Yeah.
That right there, company made a dope move. I mean, it's...
yeah,
they're
man.
Dopes.
They apologized and, you know, removed the ad.
Yeah, look at him. He's, oh, man.
I just don't get it. We talked about it on the break.
Darkness.
It's just the common sense of it all. You
I
know,
don't get it either.
We in this room, nobody cares, but at the same time, it's
well,
just...
you mean nobody cares? I hate him. Oh, I'm sorry. Doing my little brother like that.
Uh-huh.
All right.
There you go.
And finally, the G-Knights got busy once again. Always. You were there 2-1 last night. And Wild Bill got the win against the Rangers.
England comes up the middle of the ice as the crowd senses a big moment here. Marcia Silla Smith feeding right in a shot. Score! Carlson! Golden Knights take the lead at 2-1 with 11 minutes to go in regulation.
Wild Bill Carlson with the winner. You know, the Vegas Golden Knights, they lost St. Louis, and then they ended up beating Chicago. They came back home and beat the Rangers 2-1. They have won 10 of 11. We're at halfway point now in the regular season. They're 29-10-2 in first place. Their coach Gallant is going to be coach of the West. That is extremely dope.
A couple other things that are dope. They are, like you said, first in the Western Conference. They have 60 points total. They have 37 points because they're 18-2-1 at home. It's the most home wins in the NHL of this season. And here's one more thing that I read. Only three other teams have won more home games in their inaugural oof, I cannot
in their
say
first
that.
Season.
Thank you. VGK is going to set the record. They're at 20, whatever it was, 18. The next one is 22.
Wow.
They have the rest of the season to win that. So, more records. So
nice. All right. Lighters down. Dope done.
Now back to Game On. Seat Williams.
3:42 in the Valley. Final go-round brought to you by Reliable Banner at ReliableBanner.com. Making it rain in Vegas. Steve Fezzik makes it rain all the time because he always walks up and beats his man. Steve Fezzik of Fezzik Sports. Fez, how are you, brother?
Oh, there's sometimes my man beats me. It happens.
He's the biggest advantage player in town. One of the best handicappers. Twice he's taken on the Super Handicapping Contest over at the Westgate and won it back-to-back years. Before we jump into the game tonight and the games coming up, the guy who won from Portland this year, we were talking to Jay Cornegay about that. Apparently, they made a millionaire out of a guy this year. Man, they had 2,700 entries.
$1.3 million. He takes it down. Impressive, and I've already been listening to some of the other broadcasts, and they went ahead and mentioned I only beat 300 people. It's an excellent point, so it was easy to win back in 2018.
Well,
2008.
No, it's not easy. You still have to win every week. You know, every week you got to win, you got to worry, you got to sweat. So, hey, look, you set the tone, and here you are now still doing your thing. And I know you as an advantage player. You took me on a couple of runs back in the day about 10 years ago, so I kind of know exactly some of the moves to make to be an advantage player. Now, the game tonight, have you looked at any props on this game with the Alabama opening at 4.5, 47 now at 4, that total dropped down? Any props, first of all?
Yes, I went ahead and went with a theme that we see in the Super Bowl oftentimes, namely very conservative early on. So I personally bet that there wouldn't be a score in the first 6 minutes, 30 seconds. I bet first quarter. I got an under 10. You can get a first half under 23. And I bet second half to outscore first half in my prop betting.
Am I crazy? I took the over.
I think it would be better to play, if you like the over, kind of do this in the Super Bowl every year. Wait until a quiet first quarter ends, and then if you've got access to live wagering, oftentimes the markets overreact. Oh, these teams can't move the ball at all. Not unusual to get like a 35 in live wagering somewhere around early second quarter.
You know, that's why you're the best advantage player in town, or one of the best in the entire country, because you do have everything lined up. And you shop. I mean, you're a guy that will shop for that half point, won't you?
Yeah, that's the beauty of wagering while the game's going on, is that pretty much everyone's going to deal close to the same number right before the game kicks off, but then it becomes the wild, wild west, depending upon where you're at, what the sports book needs in terms of what they might put up while the game's going on in live wagering.
Steve Fezzik at Fezzik Sports, I beg your pardon, here on the show Game On. Now, as far as the game itself, who do you believe wins the game? And if you were throwing out a final score, what would you put it at?
Oh, I'll say Alabama 21-17. I did bet Bama to on the money line. It's dropped down. Get a minus 175 right now at Johnny Avella's shop at the win. And we see this oftentimes. See, even though the side doesn't move, money comes in on the dog on these championship games. Frankly, I would have liked it better at minus 170. But I think at minus 175, that's a perfectly good bet. Yeah, how can you go against Nick Saban in a big game if it's close? Fully expect Alabama to find a way to win the game.
Any other props or anything else about the game in detail you'd like to lay out to the public?
I went ahead and I do like the under for the game, but like I said, I think a very slow start to the game makes a lot of sense. And if you want to take a flyer, I did bet over at the Westgate first score to be a not be a touchdown, so be a field goal or a safety. I got plus 180. I think plus 160 or better is fine. I could certainly see this game starting with a field goal, not a touchdown.
Let's go to Wild Card Weekend. Fascinating games across the way. We saw a quarterback who just pee in pants, but could run the football, and his team was good enough defensively to get by Buffalo. We also saw the two-headed monster, Kamara and Ingram, get shut down, but Drew Brees almost threw for 400 yards and three TDs. We saw Kansas City lose another one. May that be the end of Alex Smith at quarterback there at Arrowhead. And then, of course, we saw the secondary and urgency of the Falcons shut down the Rams. A very good year for the Rams, but maybe a year early. So if you were stringing all the favorites, the books would have won. But a lot of people, a lot of sharps and every public players, they strung the money lines with the favorites and got beat by the man.
Yeah, well, they got there on Sunday. They got beat up on Saturday with their teasers, no question. The books were way into the black after KC went down. You know, the asterisk, Kelce getting hurt. Can't really blame Alex Smith that much. You get 21 points in the first half. You basically should be able to go out, hand the ball off in the second half, and win that game. A little unlucky for the Chiefs, but maybe a little too conservative in the second half there. I think as far as the Atlanta-Philadelphia, very rare that I do this. See, I'm going to be a total square. I laid the 2.5 with Atlanta against the Sharps, who are taking the 3 with Philadelphia. Nick Foles is just not doing it for me. All the games I'm watching, if he had to play the whole game, I think they only win 6 games.
Mm.
The whole season.
Yeah.
I think they're a 6-win team with Nick Foles against the defending NFC champion. And because of that, I think -2.5 is cheap.
You know, and you got to admit, watching that Atlanta secondary and their linebackers yesterday against the Rams, the urgency kicked in. They came to play. Alfred and his teammates, Tufan, they gave up nothing, right? So if they take that same energy into Philadelphia, then they win the game straight up, to me.
Yeah, and Tufan was hurt earlier in the year. So, I mean, that secondary, just like last year in the Super Bowl, they were below average most of the year, and then they became an above-average team. Well, this year they were average most of the year, slightly above average, actually, and now that defense is trending towards certainly being a top-8 squad. And I got to tell you, Philly, under Foles, they got a lot of breaks at the scheduling at the end of the year, they got to play Dallas after Dallas's dreams were crushed. They got to play Oakland after Oakland's dreams were crushed. I'm still waiting for them to play even a decent game with Nick Foles.
I agree. Steve Fezzik at Fezzik Sports here on the show, Game On. Let's go to New England. Tennessee got a pass. They won their ball game, and they look good doing it down the stretch, 22-21 over KC. So their coach basically saved his job with that win. But are they running into an ambush here going to Foxborough?
I'm not going to lay 13.5, but I just don't bet against New England. I think the last few weeks I've said when New England was laying 17, oh, lean to the dog, but I'm not betting against the genius, and somehow he's found a way to win and cover. And because of that, I think I'll just sit back and watch the Patriots advance. I don't think I'll have very much in action. Look for the props in these games.
13.5 is where it is right now, the Patriots. Pittsburgh, Jacksonville. Jacksonville went in there and smoked them, 30-9 in week 5. So they're coming back, and their defense is, I mean, they talk more trash than Larry Bird and Michael Jordan did back in the day. But they get it done, Jacksonville.
Yeah, they don't get it done on the road, though, nearly as much as they do at home. And if Blake Bortles can't throw a pass in 18-mile-an-hour winds on a nice, balmy, 60-degree day in Jacksonville, how's he going to do it in 18 degrees in the swirling winds of Pittsburgh? Like you mentioned, they absolutely punked Pittsburgh earlier. That's not a positive. That's a negative for Jacksonville. They got the 5 interceptions with Big Ben on the big Fournette run at the end of the game. Pittsburgh be ready to play. I don't see how Jacksonville's going to score, frankly, in 18 degrees. We all remember that trend when Tampa Bay, who never won below 32 degrees, winning in Philly when it was 32. Well, right. Now you got another Florida team, and now it's 18 degrees. Good luck with that. I think Pittsburgh rolls them.
Steelers 7.5 and 40. Should we look at the under here, maybe?
I played under, it opened higher. I played under 42 and 41.5, but yeah, even there's plenty of 41s. Absolutely, I would play under. I just can't see Jacksonville getting past 10 points. And you know Pittsburgh is going to go ahead and not put it all on Ben and hand it off to Bell. They'll grind out 24 points. Pittsburgh scores at home consistently.
And then you're looking at the Saints and Minnesota. Minnesota looking to become the first team ever in NFL history to host a Super Bowl in their city. The Super Bowl being back there in Minnesota. The Saints come rolling in on fire. They've got the running game of Kamara and Ingram. Drew Brees has got his receivers. They've turned into a run-first football team as opposed to what they were in the past. This may be a difference maker. On the other hand, you're looking at Case Keenum. I'm one of those storybook chapters that you, a guy that's a journeyman. All of a sudden, he ends up because of injuries. Teddy Bridgewater, he might be coming back. They've got Bradford maybe coming back. No, you keep Case in there, and you let your defense stir things up. This right here, I think, of all the games, is the one I'm anticipating the most over the weekend.
I made the case for Zimmer being the second-best coach in the NFL. How many times do we see that when your starting quarterback goes down, your season is over? It doesn't matter who the quarterback is for the Vikings, Bradford, Keenum, Bridgewater. Zimmer, all he does is win. Two elite wide receivers. Well, Diggs is a very good one. Thielen is elite, top 10. So can you believe it? We're going to talk about the Minnesota wide receivers being better than the New Orleans wide receivers. Drew Brees, obviously, would be the preferred quarterback, but it's been pretty darn close this year. It's not close in terms of defense. The Saints' defense is all banged up. The Vikings' defense is absolutely elite, best in the NFL. I don't understand this line. The Minnesota home field has to be worth at least 3.5, if not 4. And Minnesota's the better team, and Minnesota's rested, and the Saints basically played super hard the last 2 weeks. Vikings roll.
Mm. So you like the Vikings, and what the other teams you do like?
In terms of a waiting seat, I like the Vikings, and if you have to make another bet, I'd bet the Vikings again.
Wow. Everything looking good. Anything else going on in the world of Fez and the kid?
I would play the Vikings on the money line as well because I just can't see how the Saints are going to be able to win. So diversify. Let's play the Vikings on the money line. Let's play the Vikings minus the 3.5 to 4. Oh, still a couple 3.5s over at the coast and the win. That won't last. As far as family, we'll wait till the Super Bowl's over, then we'll get to that.
All right, Fez, where are you watching the game tonight?
Watching at home, doing all my in-game wagering with all my apps open in front of me, Seat.
Appreciate you, bro. Let the folks know where they can find you.
At Fezzik Sports, of course, over at pregame.com. By the way, I watch the game in low definition. That improves my feed by about 7 seconds.
Love you, bro. Thanks. We'll talk to you shortly, all right?
Take care.
There you go. Steve Fezzik at FezzikSports.com getting it on here on Game On. A lot of fun, huh? Yeah! One thing we do in Vegas on a day like today, we make it rain! Steve Fezzik, thanks to him. Ari, he's got the ones and twos. Charles sitting in, getting ready. Also, Marcus Laverne, thanks for help co-producing the show. I'm Seat Williams. Folk, chins tucked low, guards up high. We'll see you on the radio. More of the show tomorrow, NBC Sports Radio 920. Game on, game over.